Certainly want to extend Christian greetings to each one here. Count it a privilege to be here and worship the Lord with you and give you an invitation to come to Allegheny Valley as you have opportunity and worship the Lord there with us. Brother Darwin and several of your ministry have been there and extend a welcome to each one to come and worship the Lord there sometime with us. Also wanted to extend Christian greetings and the one who said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." I don't know how many fishermen we have here this morning, but I trust that we're all fishers of men. Understand that I believe in this area yesterday was the first day of trout season, is that correct? Not sure how many of you were out. I myself would not count myself as a fisherman. But I like to think about that just a little bit this morning, not necessarily fishing in the nearby stream or the pond or whatever, but how do you become a fisher of men? Jesus says, "Follow me." You know, to become a fisherman, a good fisherman, I believe that you need to follow the fishermen. You need to learn from them. You need to watch how they do things. You need to take notice. You need to study how they go about their business or their profession, you might say. Proverbs says in Proverbs 27, verse 17, says, "As iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." And as we think about becoming a fisherman, we need to spend time with the fishermen. As iron sharpeneth iron. Iron doesn't get sharp if it's not together. There needs to be an association there. And I believe Jesus was calling Peter to that when he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." I believe there might have been some other disciples there at that time. I'm not sure. But he specifically was talking to Peter. And we know how Peter went on to be a great fisher of men. He became a professional at becoming a fisher of men. I'd like you to think about that. And while you're thinking about that, open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 4. And we'd like to look at, this morning we're going to look at Peter's life here a little, or maybe a few brief, I'm not sure of the time period here, a few brief days, maybe weeks, I'm not sure, but Acts chapter 4, verse 13, there's an interesting comment made about Peter and John, and I'm not sure that Jesus told John. We do know that when Jesus called John, he was in the ship mending his net, so he was a fisher too. And I believe Jesus told these men to follow him, because he wants to make them fishers of men. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, we find an interesting comment about Peter and John. It says, "Now when they saw," they, meaning the crowd that was gathered there that day, the people of the day, you might say, "when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." I'd like to look at the latter part of that verse this morning. "They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." They were associating with Jesus. They had learned from Jesus. They had been around Jesus. We often hear the saying, "You become like the people you're around." These men had been around Jesus. They had learned from Jesus. We'd like to look at that a little this morning. What did these people, the crowd that was gathered that day, here Peter and John were on trial for preaching, and we're going to look at the background in a few moments here, but what did the people see that day? What made them, what reminded them that Peter and John were with Jesus? It says they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. As they observed Peter and John there, what did they see? What made them different? Was it their speech? Possibly. We know that Peter, back at Jesus' trial, Men could see that he was different. He was a Galilean. His speech betrayed him. Was it their dress? Possibly. I maybe kind of have my doubts a little bit. This was a religious organization or religious activities were going there. I believe these men were dressed up, and I believe the rest of the crowd was. I'm not sure that they looked a whole lot different. Maybe they were. I'm not sure. Was it their mannerism, how they handled themselves? What did these people see? We'd like to look at that a little this morning. And as I prepared for this and thought about that, I didn't realize how close it's going to parallel our Sunday school lesson. We use at Allegheny, we use CLP's Sunday school book. But I believe one of the questions we discussed here this morning, what are some of the traits of the redeemed or characteristics of the redeemed? And as we look at this, as we work through this message here, I believe there are at least seven characteristics that these people noticed in Peter and John that day. As Peter and John were on trial that day, and these people marveled that they had been with Jesus. They saw that they were with Jesus. I believe there were at least seven characteristics that these people noticed in Peter and John's life. Now, for a little background on this, let's go back and back to chapter 3. Why were Peter and John on trial here? Why were they called before the people here? Why were they questioned? Acts chapter 2, we all know the story there. The powerful day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out and on the disciples there. And Peter stands up and he preaches that powerful message. And the end of chapter 2, verse 41, about 3,000 souls were added that day. And then we go down on the last verse of chapter 2. It says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And people were added to the churches by the thousands. A great revival was taking place. And now we'll go right into chapter 3. I'm going to read the first 12 verses, and then we're going to jump down and read a little bit in chapter 4. Just to get the background here a little bit. Why Peter and John were on trial, and what was going on here that they were called... that they were called to the council, and why were they on trial? Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up into the temple at the ninth hour, Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? We know that Peter goes on and preaches another powerful message there. And let's drop down to chapter 4, and we're going to read the first... 22 verses of chapter 4. This is picking up after Peter's message. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, And the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass in the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak of the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Now we'd like to go back and look a little bit, like I said, at some characteristics that I believe the crowd saw in Peter and John that day as they observed them, as they were on trial. And I'd like for each one of us to think about that this morning. As you go out tomorrow, as you go out to the workforce, or go about your business, whether it's in the house or in the classroom at school or to Walmart shopping or in the business place, do men see that you have been with Jesus? And what do they see in your life? What do they see in your life? We often hear the term that you may be the only Bible that someone reads, and how true that is. And as individuals, as society around you observes your life and your lifestyle, can they tell that you have been with Jesus? I just marvel, and we'll look at this a little later, at the boldness of Peter and John. If we were to read the next chapter or two, the same thing happens again. They are caught again. Caught for preaching and teaching, and they're put in the hold again and in the prison. And that very night, the angel of the Lord comes and opens the gate and tells them to go preach more. And where we find them early the next morning, that very next morning, they were back in the temple preaching. I'm not sure how would I do. And we'll look at that a little bit later, their boldness. Preaching the word of God. Well, one of the first characteristics we'd like to look at, men who have been with Jesus, and throughout this message I may refer to men, but I believe men and women. Men and women who have been with Jesus are filled with the Holy Ghost. We could go back to chapter 2. I'm not going to take the time to read that, but we know that powerful message there. How the Holy Ghost was poured down there on the day of Pentecost, and Peter stands up being filled with the Holy Ghost, it says, and preaches that powerful message. And all the crowd that was gathered there again that day marveled at that. And they heard the gospel going forth in different languages and different tongues, it was only because of the Holy Spirit. These men were filled with the Holy Ghost, and Peter was there. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Men who have been with Jesus are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we find in our key verse, it says that they were ignorant and unlearned men. They hadn't gone to college. They hadn't had special training, I don't believe, other than being associated with Jesus and meeting Jesus, being around Jesus, associating with him. They had learned to follow the Spirit. Luke 12, verse 11, Jesus tells us that we're not to be concerned about what we might say when we're brought before the magistrates. I'm just putting this in my own words. But it says, in the same hour that you have, it will be given you in that selfsame hour what you shall say, or something to that effect. And that's being filled with the Spirit. The Spirit can do that, the Holy Spirit. And as Peter stood up and preached that message the day of Pentecost, and the passage that I just read here, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking what the Holy Ghost tells us to speak. Peter, I'm not sure if Peter and John were actually witnesses of Jesus as he was baptized and as that Holy Ghost came down and lighted on him. I like to think that they were, that Peter and John witnessed that, I'm not sure. But they certainly had witnessed Jesus. As they walked with him and talked with him, they certainly witnessed Jesus following the Holy Spirit's leading. I had to think of the passage where Jesus was traveling and it said he must needs go through Samaria. He was following the Spirit's leading. He knew that there was, he and his foreknowledge knew that there was a need there, and he met that woman at the well and he brought her that living water. And you and I, as we go about our duties in life, are we following the Holy Spirit? Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? The apostles, the disciples, Peter and John here, were filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe it was the Spirit's leading that led them to the temple that day. I don't believe that they knew that they were going to find this lame man there. But they were simply following the Spirit's leading. And as they followed the Spirit's leading, they came upon a needy man. And moved with the power of the Holy Ghost, they helped this man. It was not a coincidence that they were going to the temple to pray. They were following the Spirit's leading. Philip, in Acts chapter 8, he goes down to Samaria there, and he meets the Ethiopian eunuch. And it says how he was led of the Spirit. And men who have met Jesus are filled with the Spirit. They follow the Spirit. They say the things of the Spirit. They follow the Spirit's leading. Well, another point, another characteristic of men who have been with Jesus, they are praying men. Are you and I known to be praying individuals? Praying men and women. Peter and John were on their way to a prayer meeting here. First verse of chapter 3, Peter and John went up into the temple at the ninth hour, went into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. I believe they were going to prayer. And how did they learn the importance of prayer? Well, they associated with Jesus. They learned it from Jesus. We read many times how Jesus went out early in the morning or was up all night praying. The Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed till he sweat drops of blood. A praying man. Jesus was a praying man. Peter and John had learned the importance of prayer through Jesus. And you and I, as we meet Jesus, as we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we need to learn to be praying people. I believe the crowd that day saw Peter and John as men of prayer. Men who had come to know the importance and the power of prayer. I had to think of Jesus as after his resurrection, as he was on the road to Emmaus, and the two disciples were on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus himself joined with them and walked with them and expounded the scriptures, and they didn't know him. Their eyes were held from him, maybe. But as they walked there, and they came towards the end of their journey, and they told Jesus, "You come in, spend the night with us." And how was Jesus revealed to them? Remember how? It was as he took those loaves of bread and he held them up and he blessed them. It was through prayer. Peter and John had come to know Jesus, and as he took the loaves of bread and he blessed them, and suddenly their eyes were open. This is a man of prayer. This is Jesus. And as you and I, as we meet Jesus, we need to learn the importance of prayer. We need to be known ourselves as praying individuals. Peter and John, I believe that day, as they were held there on trial and the people observed their lives, they saw praying men. Men who knew the power and the importance of prayer. Point number three. What did the crowd see that day in Peter and John? I believe they saw compassionate and giving individuals. Men and women who have been with Jesus are compassionate and giving. When you experience something, a death in the family, a physical ailment, it gives you a heart, and you experience healing through that. It gives that individual more of a compassion for those in the same situation. Several years ago, I myself was having a little trouble with my back, and hadn't done too much about it. I was at the chiropractor several times, and thought it was getting better. And here one morning, about to go out to my chores, and I bent over to tie my shoe, and something slipped in my back, and I went flat on the floor. And for several days, I couldn't get off the floor more than for a few minutes, and I had to lay down again. And up till that point, maybe I probably, in my shame, probably didn't have quite as much compassion for those who said they have back trouble. But after that experience, doctoring, and I thank the Lord for his healing, I can pretty well go on normally now again. But I have a heart, more compassion for those who have back trouble. And Peter and John here, I believe they had been with Jesus. They knew what it was to have hurts in their lives and to have spiritual needs, and they knew what it was to receive healing, and therefore that gave them a heart of compassion for the lame man and for others who had spiritual needs in their lives. They had learned that from Jesus. Many times we read in the scripture how Jesus, as he observed the crowds, he was moved with compassion. He had a heart to help those who were lost. He weeps over Jerusalem, and he tells them how often he would love to gather them together as a hen gathers her chicks. Jesus had a heart of compassion, and when we meet Jesus and associate with him and learn from him, we will learn to have a heart of compassion for those that are lost, for those that are those needy souls. I'm amazed here at Peter and John. We just read how there were individuals were being added to the church by the thousands here. There was a great revival, and I look at my own life and see weaknesses in my life. And I challenge us, especially as leaders, how busy do we become? Do we have time for that one individual? If there were 3,000 souls added to this church today, or in the next week, would we have time for that one lame man? That's a challenge to all of us. Peter and John took time for that one lame man, even though there were thousands being added to the church. And they could have said, we don't have time. But Peter and John were moved with compassion. They did not let their busyness stand in the way. Later on, turn to chapter 5. This is the second time after Peter and John were caught in the prison were put in prison, and after the angel of the Lord releases them, and they go out in the streets again. Let me lose my place in my notes here. Chapter 5, verse 14 and 16. Well, let's start at verse 12. He's talking of Peter and John here again. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, for they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. not sure, they must add Solomon's porch maybe as their office or the base where they worked out of. And the rest dares no man join himself to them. This is right after the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And fear came upon a lot of people, and yet the Lord's work was going forth. In verse 14, and believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And it goes on to say how they brought the sick and those that were possessed of spirits and things, they brought them out and put them in the streets there. And Peter, even in his busyness of life, it says that possibly his shadow, that he might overshadow some of them. And I thought that's very interesting, how just the presence of Peter brought peace and brought healing to people. His shadow, as he walked on the street there, his shadow over the sick brought healing. And I believe men and women who have met with Jesus, just your very presence coming into a sinful situation should bring healing. Should bring a blessing on the believers, and yes, bring healing to a hurting situation. Here, Peter's shadow as he walked by, just the shadow of Peter brought healing. Men and women who have been with Jesus, just their presence should bring healing, should be a comfort, a heart of compassion. Is my very presence a blessing to those I meet? Challenge for each one of us. Well, another characteristic I see in these men, that day as they stood before the crowd and they were asked, whose name are you preaching, and how are you doing these things? How are you performing these miracles? Peter and John were humble. Chapter 3, verse 11, we read some of these verses. Verse 11, 12, and 13. As the lame man which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them on the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And then Peter says this, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, who have glorified his Son, whom ye delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy Just One, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Let's drop down to verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see. Peter and John gave the glory to God here. They were humble about this. A great miracle had happened, and they could have claimed some of the honor for themselves, probably. But no, they had learned humility. Jesus himself. And where did they learn our humility? They learned it from Jesus. Jesus himself says in John chapter 8, verse 50, I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. He was talking of his Father there. But Jesus didn't seek his own glory. He gave the glory to God. And Peter and John, that day as they stood before the crowd there, they gave the honor and the glory to God. They were not taking any honor or glory on themselves. Chapter 4, verse 10, Peter again says it. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Peter and John were humble men. They gave the honor and glory to God. They had learned that. As the crowd that day, as they observed Peter and John's life, they observed that they were humble men, that they had been with Jesus, and they had learned humility from Jesus. Well, point number 5. The crowd that day, as they observed Peter and John, they observed and saw that they were courageous and bold. And we take that right from our key verse. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Later, and right after this, Peter and John are put into prison again. And like I said earlier, the angel of the Lord comes that very night and delivers them. I'm afraid that I probably would have failed in that situation. I probably would have turned tail and tried to sneak away. Sneak out of the city like a whipped puppy. But you know, not Peter and John. Early the next morning, they were found in the temple preaching again. And the council sends men to get them, and they said they came to the prison, and they couldn't find them. And then someone else comes and says, they're back in the temple preaching. Boldness. I marvel at that. They were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. They were commanded not to preach or teach in the name of Jesus, but did that stop them? No. It didn't matter what the council threatened them. We find later they were beaten and threatened and then left go. What did they do? They went right back to preaching and teaching. Men who have been with Jesus are not ashamed. They have courage. They have boldness. Chapter 4, verse 19 and 20, Peter makes an interesting statement. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak of the things which we have seen and heard. When we've been around Jesus, when we've met Jesus, it needs to bring a joy into our hearts. That brings courage, and we can't help ourselves. We just can't help but speak about Jesus and what he has done for us. Peter and John were that. They were courageous. They were bold. Jesus says, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. If we're ashamed to speak up for Jesus, someday he's going to be ashamed of us. We need to go forth with courage and boldness. Jesus himself taught with authority and boldness. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount there, it says that the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You know, men and brethren, as we go forth and share the gospel with others, we have authority. We have courage. We don't have to be ashamed. We can have boldness. We don't have to apologize for the scriptures. And you know, that thing come a little closer home than we like to admit sometimes. Recently was challenged. I was helping build some fence there for a neighbor man, and we had these discussions before, and I hadn't seen him for quite some time, and came there to help him build some fence, and he started off right away. He said, so you're not going to vote this year? And I said, no. We had this discussion several times, and he likes to maybe tease about it. But how bold are we to speak up and for our Lord? What about things like abortion and other things? And when the subject comes up, do we kind of sit back and we'll see what the outcome is before we get too involved? We don't want to, or do we have boldness? Do we have boldness? And I challenge especially youth with that. To be bold and stand up for the Lord. And even we go back to the other point of prayer. Going to a restaurant or something like that and praying in public. There's nothing to be ashamed about that. We need to be bold, have courage. Men and women who have been with Jesus need to be bold and courageous. And we don't have to apologize. Let the scripture speak for itself. Point number 6, men and women who have been with Jesus are committed men. We find that in chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. This is again after they're threatened. This is the second time they were threatened. And verse 28, actually let's start at verse 27. Here they find them in the temple preaching again, and they bring them before the council again in verse 27, and when they have brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Men and women who have been with Jesus are committed to God, committed to Jesus and to his cause. It didn't matter what the council said here. It didn't matter what the authorities said and the threats they gave and the beatings they received. Peter and John were committed to the Lord. They were committed to follow his command. We ought to obey God rather than men. Jesus himself was taught them this commitment, I believe. Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus, as he struggled there before the cross, he says, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Jesus committed to go through. And these men had learned that from Jesus. They learned how to be committed men. Years later, history would tell us that Peter was so committed that he went to the cross himself. Crucified upside down, committed even to death. John, banished to the Isle of Patmos, committed. Committed men and brethren, or men and women. How deep is my commitment? But men and women who have been with Jesus are learned commitment. Or committed men and women. Revelation 2, verse 10, the end of the verse says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." If our commitment only goes halfway, there's no crown. Men and women who have been with Jesus are committed men. Well, the last point we'd like to look at here, we find that in the end of chapter 5, verse 41. "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Men and women who have been with Jesus are rejoicing. Even in suffering, Peter and John were just beaten. They were just threatened again. They had been thrown in prison. And here we find them rejoicing. What were they doing? Were they singing? I'm not sure. But glorifying God. They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 11 and 12, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." I believe that Peter and John had learned this rejoicing through Jesus. I believe Jesus was a happy person to be around. We know that the children were attracted to him. We know the large crowds were drawn to him. And I believe Jesus was full of joy, even in suffering. And here we find Peter and John as they were beaten, as they were threatened. They walk away and they were rejoicing. And I just find that a real challenge in my own life. We go through trials and temptations and discouraging times in life. We can rejoice. We can rejoice. Jesus says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." Well, I'd like to wish you God's blessing as you go forth from here. As others observe your life, what do they see in your life? Can they see that you are filled with the Holy Ghost? You are being led by the Holy Ghost. You are following the Holy Ghost. Do they see you as a praying individual? One who knows the importance and the power of prayer. Do they see a heart of compassion and giving? One who is reaching out to the lost, to that individual along the highway that needs help, to the one that has lost a loved one, whatever it is. Do they see a heart of compassion? Do they see a humble heart? Do they see you with courage and boldness, speaking up for the Lord? Do they see you as a committed individual, committed even unto death? And do they see you as a rejoicing individual? Brothers and sisters, we have lots to rejoice in. We just looked at redemption in our Sunday school class. If it wasn't for that, we would have nothing to rejoice in. But through the blood of Jesus, we have everything to rejoice in. So may God bless you as you go forth. May you be one that, as others observe your life, they can see that you have been with Jesus. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.